Thankful for the specials this morning. Amen. Great song service, opportunity to come together and worship the Lord. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Last week we began a new series of messages on the family. Family is a blessing from God. We have a society today that is trying to undermine everything that God has instituted. Family begins with marriage. When a man finds a wife, he's found a good thing and he's found favor of the Lord. We know families today have many different situations, many different makeups, and we understand that. And I wanted to tell you last week, I want to remind you again this week that what I'm talking about is God's design for the family. Now, none of us can do anything about yesterday. If divorce, broken families, and all kinds of things have happened, we can't do anything about yesterday. But what we can do is learn what God would have for us today. And so when I talk about the family, and we talk about husbands and wives and all of those different things, I understand that that may not, you may feel like that doesn't apply to you, but I promise you, the biblical principles we're going to learn in this series will help your life. But that's not really what it's all about. A lot of people, we talk about biblical basics for a blessed home. We talk about having a blessed life and all of those things. And some people might say, well, listen, I know a lot of families that aren't Christians and they seem to be doing really well for themselves. They seem to be very happy and very successful. But Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? What I'm preaching to you about is about having biblical basics for a blessed home. But don't misunderstand, I'm not talking to you about having your best life now. I'm talking to you about preparing for the life to come. I'm not trying to give you a list of do's and don'ts to be a happy and have worldly success today, but I am preaching to you about having a family that is born again, a family that knows God and is known by Him. I'm preaching to you about having a family that is living for the kingdom of God. And the family, the blessed home that I'm praying for you to have is not a home with superficial happiness, but a home with everlasting joy. Amen. I'm not trying to talk to you about improving your circumstances, but I'm trying to talk to you about having joy in your home no matter what the circumstances of life are. The Christian life is not a pleasure cruise. It's spiritual warfare. And there's little else on this planet that's under attack more today than our homes. Friends, you need to understand that Satan wants to destroy this church. I imagine Satan's sick to see so many people here at Calvary today. He doesn't like that. He wants this church to be split right down the middle and split again. He wants to see this place turned into something besides a church. He doesn't want to just destroy this church. He wants to destroy your home. He wants to tear your family apart. He wants to destroy your marriage. Satan doesn't want you to be married happily ever after. He wants you to be destroyed. He wants to destroy your very life. He wants to undermine our efforts to live for God, and he will succeed if we're not diligent in building our lives and our homes on the Word of God. Amen. How many of you be honest enough today to say marriage is hard? Amen. You go ahead. Marriage is hard. Anybody say that? All right. Rest of you aren't married or you're lying to yourself. Marriage is hard. It's difficult. You know, it seemed like a good idea to live with somebody and spend your life together until that one morning you wake up and roll over and look at them and go, what have I done? Not that I ever did that, but I'm sure Melissa has once or twice. Listen, marriage is hard. I would say I don't understand how anybody does it without the Lord. Amen. I don't understand. I don't understand how they do it, and certainly people who don't know the Lord get married, stay married till the day they die. That's entirely possible, but they can't have joy in their hearts without Christ. They can't have a home that is going to matter beyond now if they're not living for Christ. You see, friends, when you live for Jesus, you get to live for eternity. And so I want to talk to you about building your life on the Word of God. What we're going to do is have a word of prayer right now, and then we're going to stand together and read God's Word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful day you've blessed us with, for the opportunity, the privilege, the freedom that we have to come and gather together to worship you, to sing your praises, to spend time in your holy word. And Father, now as we come to that time, to open the bread of life, Father, I pray that you would open our hearts, open our ears, give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see, Lord, illuminate our hearts and minds today with your truth. Father, I pray that you would open blind eyes to the truth today. I pray that there are those that are here that are unborn, that they've never been born again. They're still dead in their trespasses and sins. I pray, Father, that today they would repent of their sin and their unbelief, that they would trust with all their heart in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, that today they would cry out to you and be born again. I pray that they would be, all that are saved would be baptized and serve you faithfully in the church. Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to have families that are based on your word, not on our ideas, our understanding, or pop psychology, God, but the eternal truths of your scriptures. Please help me today, for I'm nothing without you. Bless as we look in your word now. I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to it now, and that you would help this morning. And Lord, help us to be obedient right now, to make up our minds that we'll do what you show us to do today, Lord, that we'll be predisposed to be obedient. And I pray that you'll help our families to be what you want them to be. Father, bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, if you're able, let's stand together. Deuteronomy chapter 6, look at verse 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. So notice this, Moses starts out by saying, God has given me these truths. What I'm about to give you is the word of God. Now you don't take that for granted today. You need to understand that what we're looking at is the very word of God. And he says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Amen. You may be seated. In the scriptures today, we want to learn a few principles about having a biblical basis for a blessed home. First of all, we need to know today that we have to learn the Word of God. These are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. Now, commandments, statutes, judgments, all of these things are contained in the Word of God. They are the Word of God. It's a different way of saying it. The things that God commands us to do, the statutes, the laws that we would understand, the judgments that God would show us what is right and what is wrong. It's all found in the Word of God. And we need to know the Word of God. There's to be a perpetuation of the Word of God. I need to learn the Word of God so that I can teach my children the Word of God, and they can teach their children the Word of God. And God wants this legacy to be left behind because I've learned it and I've passed it on. There are too many people today in America that think if they just get their kids in church, if I just bring my kids to Sunday school, that they'll learn the Word of God. And too many parents are not teaching the Word of God at home. And I want you to say, I want you to hear this today, friends. You've got to teach it at home. If you don't teach your kids the scriptures at home, they're going to think that the Bible is something for church, but everything else is for something at home. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but you spend a lot more time outside of church than you do in church. Amen. The Word of God is not something just for church. And you're not going to learn it very well if you only get it for a couple of hours a week. Now listen, we have church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We still do that. God established worship in the Old Testament. There was the morning sacrifice and the evening sacrifice. That's one of the reasons we have Sunday morning church and Sunday night church. It's a good thing. Amen. It's a good thing, by the way, to show up. Amen. A lot to be said for showing up. And Wednesday night, we have that time set aside in the middle of the week to kind of help us through the week. And I don't know about you, but I need that. Amen. I mean, Wednesday comes along, I'm about ready to forget about Mondays. Man, by Wednesday, I'm about ready to kill somebody. I'm about ready to be done with all this. It's good to come together with God's people and sing His praises and study His Word. Wednesday nights are important. But I want to tell you, if you are here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you think that you've done all there is to do for you and your family, you're crazy. That's just a small part of it. It's a vital part, but it's just a small part. If you're not studying the Word of God at home, if you're not teaching your children at home, I promise they're not going to get it. I promise they're not going to get it. So we've got to know it. Now, I can't teach something I don't know. I can't teach something I don't know. I know that I can't teach something I don't know, Brother Steve, because I've tried to teach things that I don't know, and it didn't go very well. It's got to be in here before it's going to do any good to try to share that with somebody else. It's not even good enough to have it up here, to have the knowledge. If it's not in your heart, it's not going to be communicated effectively. It's not going to matter. People know. People know whether it's serious. They know whether it's real to you. And so we've got to get it in our hearts. We need to fear the Lord if we're going to have His Word in our hearts. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments. Friends, we have a God that created everything. He breathed out the stars that are in the heavens. We have an all-powerful, almighty, all-present, and all-knowing God. And we don't just come before Him nonchalantly. He's not just the man upstairs. And that attitude we talked about in Sunday school class, that the ones that would say, well, me and the man upstairs, we have an understanding. If you think that you've got that kind of flippant attitude towards God, you don't know the God of the Bible. We fear before Him. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, and He's an awesome God. We fear before God. When we begin to know Him, we begin to reverence Him more. And we need to hear Him. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Listen, friends, when we come before the Word of God, we need to have ears to hear. We need to be predisposed that God's Word is going to talk to me. Now, I asked the Sunday school class this morning. I'd like to ask you as well. And I want you to be honest if you can. How many of you have ever come into church and it's the time of the preaching and you just feel like, you know, I don't know how to say it, bored to tears? Anybody ever feel like, be honest. I'm raising my hand too. That's right. You just feel like I've heard all this before and this doesn't really apply to me and you just kind of have a really bad attitude about the preaching. Now, I told you, I confess that I've had that attitude before, but in my defense, my pastor was my brother-in-law for a long time, so, I mean, come on. No, I mean, we do. We come, and we have that attitude. I want you to know that there are other times, have you ever come, and you felt like every word was for you? And you were sitting on the edge of your seat, and you were just soaking it up like a sponge, and you're like, man, this is so good, and God's Word is so rich, and man, I need this so much, and it was life-changing. I want you to understand something. God's Word didn't change. It was the same dummy in the pulpit preaching. It had nothing to do with the messenger. It had nothing to do with the message. It had to do with your heart. I wanted to say it had to do with the moron listening, but that some of you would have been offended by that, so I didn't say it. It's us. We're the ones. He says, hear, O Israel. Before he can get into what he wants to tell him, he has to tell him, listen up. Jesus said, let these things sink down into your ears. Listen, have ears to hear. And every time you come to church, you ought to come with a heart that says, God, please speak to my heart. Every time you open your Bible every morning to read the Bible. Yeah, every morning when you wake up before you have breakfast, because no Bible, no breakfast, right? Man, there's like three of you. I'm not giving up on that. When you wake up and you open your Bible, you've got to come to it with this heart that says, God, I'm looking into your word. Father, please speak to my heart. Please teach me. Please help me to know you through your word. We've got to have that heart that desires to hear. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it. Now, I want you to understand today, friends, that this book, this collection of books, is the very word of God. And you have every reason to believe it. Now, there are skeptics and scoffers today. That's nothing new. They've always been speaking against the word of God. If you don't know it, that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When Satan tried to deny the word of God, he tried to cast doubt on the word of God. It's nothing new. It's still going on today. Today, they just have websites to do it on and YouTube channels. But this is the very word of God. I want you to look at a couple of passages of Scripture with me. Hold your place there in Deuteronomy 6, but let's look to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, find verse 16. I want you to know that you can believe your Bible, and it is the word of God. Baptist preacher named Vody Bachum said this, the Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. They report supernatural events that took place in the fulfillment of specific prophecies and claimed that their writings are divine rather than human in origin. Now, Brother Bachum does a good job of summarizing all of that just to say this, that this Bible is something that you can believe. And it claims to be of divine origin. The Scriptures say that they are the Word of God. That's unique. In all religious writings in the world, these men said that we are telling you what we have seen with our own eyes, what we have heard with our own ears, and what God has revealed to us. 2 Peter 1:16 says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables, when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now Peter says, we were eyewitnesses. I was there in the holy mountain. I saw Jesus in his glory and majesty. I heard the voice of God. And friends, you need to understand, Peter died because he would not deny what he saw with his own eyes. He was tortured and killed because he said, I saw it and I'm going to preach it. And if you kill me for it, it doesn't matter, because I saw him. I saw the risen Savior. And when you kill me, you're just promoting me to heaven. He wasn't afraid to die. He was an eyewitness. He said, I saw and I heard. And in verse 19, he says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. He says that we have the Holy Scriptures that are more important, more valuable, and better, listen to me, than your experiences. There's too many people in America today that, and Christianity around the world today, that put their experience above the Word of God. Well, you don't know what I saw and what I heard. Well, from listening to your story, you don't know what you saw or heard either. I know what the Bible says. Our experiences don't matter in light of the Scriptures. And so we look at this and he says, we've got the Word of God. We were eyewitnesses to the truth of God's Word. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. Listen, Peter and John were eyewitnesses. They saw, they handled, they touched, they felt, they lived with the Word of life, Jesus Christ himself. And that's what we have a record of in the Bible. Now, I'm not going to dig into it too much today, but I want you to know that your Bible is historically and archaeologically accurate. For centuries, archaeologists and scientists have tried to say, well, these things aren't true, these are just myths made up in the Bible, only for archaeologists to discover later that exactly what happened in the Scriptures is exactly what they could find evidence of in archaeology. Scientifically, the Word of God reveals things to us that it took centuries for scientists to figure out. For hundreds of years, the world's most brilliant men believed that the earth was flat. And yet the Bible says that in Isaiah 40:22, it is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. You know, it's been just in very, very recent years that scientists have continued to prove that our universe is expanding, that space is being stretched out. And I just read an article last week that they've just discovered that it's expanding even faster than they thought before, which is really difficult because we can see farther into space than we ought to be able to. We see things, and that's perplexed scientists and cosmologists for years, but I said that right? Cosmologist, not cosmetologist. I get those mixed up sometimes. It's expanding. And what does the Bible say? God says that he spreads out the heavens like a tent to dwell in. He spreads it out like a curtain. And that's exactly what we see over and over and over. We look into the Scriptures and we see modern scientists studying the cosmos believe that eventually the universe is going to collapse. And they describe it as if it will fold in on itself. And what does the Bible say? Hebrews 1, 10 and 12, and thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth. The heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old, as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. Listen, I promise you, your Bible is historically accurate. It's archaeologically accurate. It's scientifically accurate. And maybe the most astounding is how prophetically accurate the Bible is. We look in the Old Testament and see dozens of prophecies concerning Messiah. And we come to the New Testament and we see Christ fulfill every single one of them. Where he's going to be born, where he's going to be, he's going to flee into Egypt and can be called out of Egypt. He's going to be raised up in Nazareth. All these different things that Jesus did in his birth, in his life, in his death. All of the prophecies that you can look at. Scoffers have no answer for the book of Daniel. The prophetic accuracy of the book of Daniel is unquestionable. It's beyond scrutiny. You can scrutinize it all you want to, and you're going to find that God's word is true. 66 books penned by over 40 different human authors over a period of 1,600 years on three different continents in three different languages. And there are no contradictions. Amen. And there are no errors. Amen. This book is the Word of God. Ultimately, though, you're going to have to come to a place where you believe. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Listen, I can prove to you that the Bible's true archaeologically. I can prove to you that the Bible's true prophetically. I can prove to you those things intellectually. But at the end of the day, if you don't believe it, it's not going to do you any good. We have to believe the Word of God. It's not just a good book. It's the Word of God. It's not just another book. You can't even say it's a sacred book. And if you just say it's a sacred book, you're coming short of the reality. It is the living Word of God. Paul told the church at Thessalonica, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the Word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God." Now listen to this. "Which effectually worketh also in you that believe." It is the Word of God. And people today will say, "Yeah, I know the Bible is the Word of God." But if you don't trust in it, then it's not going to do you any good. You can hear the gospel. You can even believe the gospel up in your head, but you don't trust Christ alone as your Savior. It's not going to do you any good. Amen. It has to be mixed with faith in them that hear it. So what's the point? You need to hear the Word of God, but you need to hear it as it is, the Word of God. Now, there's not a mom or a dad or a grandma or a grandpa in the room today that would say, "I don't want my family to follow God." You all want your families to follow God. But if you don't know it, you can't teach it. So we've got to know the Word of God. Let me give you a few practical pointers for knowing the Word of God. Number one, you ought to read the Bible. You ought to read your Bible. Over and over in the Gospels, Jesus says, "Have you not read what David did? Have you not read in the law? Have you not read that he that made them at the beginning made them male and female? Yea, have you never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise? Did you never read in the scriptures?" I mean, over and over, Jesus admonished those men who were supposed to know the Bible. He said, "Didn't you read it? Haven't you read it? Have you not read the scriptures?" It's almost like Jesus expected them to read the Bible. Now, that was a day when not everybody was literate. Not everybody had the opportunity. But when they came to the worship in the synagogues on the Sabbath day, somebody would take the scrolls and they would open up the Word of God and they would read it. Amen. Today, friends, we're without excuse. Literacy in the United States of America today is higher than it's ever been before. People can read. People can read. There are opportunities to have the Word of God to read it abound. Most of you have multiple Bibles in your home. And listen to me, if you don't have a Bible, you tell me, we'll get you a Bible before you leave. But most of you have a smartphone and you have lots of Bibles. You can have lots of Bibles on there. I can't even remember how many I've got. I've got 5 Bible apps right here on my phone, accessible all the time. You know what? And if you're too lazy to even read it, this is awesome. It'll read it to you. I can pick a passage and push play. Listen, if you say that you don't have time to read your Bible, if you tell me today you don't have time to read your Bible, I don't want to hurt your feelings. I know you don't believe that, but I really don't want to hurt your feelings. But I want to tell you the truth. You are lying to yourself. Because the people that tell me they don't have time to read their Bible can scroll through Facebook and Instagram nonstop for hours on end. They can watch TV until drool runs out of the corner of their mouth. Listen, we've got time. We've got time. We've got to read the Word of God. God expects us to read the Word of God. Paul told the Colossians, "When this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistles from Laodicea." They took the Word of God. They read the Word of God. Paul told Timothy, "Give attendance to reading." So we ought to read the Word of God. And we ought to study the Word of God. You all know 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's not enough to just take a prayer or a reading list and check off a box. I did my reading for today. We need to study the word of God. We need to dig into the word of God. We need to cross-reference scriptures. We need to study it and rightly divide it and understand it. And God has given to the Holy Spirit to teach us all truth. We can study the word of God. Moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. God wants us to learn, to study. Ecclesiastes 12:10 says, the preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. We need to dig in and study the word of God. And we need to hear preaching. We need to hear preaching. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He commanded the church to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In Acts 5:42, daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But how will they hear unless there's a preacher? There's something special about the preaching of God's word. God speaks to my heart when I study, when I read. But I want to tell you, the major decisions that I've made in my life, the biggest changes that have happened in my life, have been a direct result of the preaching of God's word. Amen. I was saved because of preaching. Amen. I got baptized because of preaching. Amen. I answered the call to the gospel ministry because of preaching. Amen. I'm telling you that I repented and got things right in my life and got back on the right path because of preaching. There's something special about the preaching of God's word. And we don't need to neglect it. Life's busy. I mean, if you just do the things you have to do, that's enough to take up all your time. But then when you add in all the things you want to do, there's no time left. People are so busy today. Daniel said that in the last days, people would run to and fro, that knowledge would increase. And we're living in it today. But I want to tell you that if you want to have a blessed home, listen to me, dads especially, you need to make having your family in church a priority. It's not the end-all, be-all. It's just part of the equation, but it is a vital part of the equation. If we love Him, then we're going to love the brethren. We're going to want together with God's people. We understand the value of having our kids under the preaching of the Word of God. We understand that it's the preaching, the foolishness of preaching, that brings men to salvation. And I want your kids to get saved. Amen. And I hope you want your kids to get saved. And your grandkids to get saved. I suppose some people think that it's not that important today. Some people think that being at the ball fields is more important than being in church. Some people think that the yard work's more important than being in church. Some people think sleeping in's more important than being in church. But I promise you, when you kneel before the Lord one day, I promise you, you're not going to think, well, I wish I'd have done a better job of keeping my yard work up. But I promise you, there's going to be a lot of moms and dads. They're going to wish that they had made the Word of God a priority in their family. It's not enough to learn it. We've got to live it. He doesn't give us the Word just for the fun of it. He says that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. To keep all His statutes and His commandments. That thou and thy son's son and all the days of thy life to observe to do it. God gives us His word that we would do it. The Great Commission isn't that we would teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them all things that Christ commanded. It's teaching them to observe all things that Christ commanded. He wants us to keep the Word, to be doers of the Word, and not hearers only. And one of the biggest problems in our homes today is because we have moms and dads that want to tell their children what to do without doing it themselves. How am I going to tell my kids to read their Bible if I don't read my Bible? How am I going to tell my kids to tell the truth if I don't tell the truth? How am I going to tell my kids how important it is that we witness to our neighbors and our friends and we tell other people how to get saved if I don't tell people how to get saved in front of my kids? Your children need to see you pray, and your children need to see you study your Bible, and your children need to hear you tell someone else about Jesus. We've got to live it. The best way to teach somebody is by example. Listen, I've got to be what God's called me to be if I ever hope my children to be what God wants them to be. I thank God for our kids, and we've got so many young children that have made professions of faith. They've been baptized, but listen, it's easy. They're 7 years old. They're 8 years old. They got to do what you tell them to do because all you people spank your kids. You can amen it. It's just recorded. There's no video. But if we don't give them the Word of God, and we don't give them a love for the Word of God, if we don't teach them how to read it and study it and live by it, God wants this to go from me to my sons to my son's sons, from me to my daughters to their children. He wants this to continue. And it's not going to continue if I don't live it. How many of you like hypocrites? Anybody love hypocrites? Yeah, we don't care for hypocrites much, do we? How many of you want to be a hypocrite? You see, we don't like them. We don't want to be one. And so here's what we do. We come up against things in the Scripture. God says, I want you to do this. I want you to witness. I want you to tell other people about me. I want you to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, we don't want to be hypocrites. We come up against the Scripture, and it says to study His Word, to show ourselves approved, to rightly divide the Word of truth, to give attendance to reading. We don't want to be hypocrites. So God tells us to be faithful in church. He wants us to gather together, not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And He tells us to be in church. And so, but we don't want to be hypocrites. When we come up against these things in God's Word, and He's wanting us to take that next step, to go to the next level, to grow in our spiritual maturity, we come between this thing, well, I can't just keep going on like I'm going and living the way I'm living. I'd be a hypocrite if I do that. And so many people, rather than repenting and submitting to the will of God and saying, God, I can't do this, but by your grace, I'm going to be what you want me to be, and being obedient, they turn away from the gospel. They turn away from the truth. They turn away from the church. They turn away from a life of faithfulness because they don't want to be a hypocrite. Friends, to obey is better than sacrifice. Be obedient. And the good news is you don't have to do it by yourself. God gives us His Spirit. He's given us one another to do what He's called us to do. I just want to challenge you. Don't quit getting the Word of God. Learn it and live it and leave a biblical legacy. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Teaching them diligently. The Hebrew word, the Hebrew language is a beautiful language. It's a very pictorial language. It's beautiful. And this word, to teach them diligently, that phrase, that has the idea of sharpening something like on a whetting stone. Like you would take, in one place it's used to whet a sword, to take a sword and sharpen it. It's also used of sharp arrows. And what are our children? They're as arrows in the hands of a mighty man. Happy is the man whose quiver is full of them. And when we teach them diligently, you know what we're doing, friends? We're sharpening them so that they can be effective in the life that God has for them. We need to teach our children. When do we do that, preacher? Well, what you want to do is take the Word of God and you want to talk to your children about the Word of God. And you want to do that when you sit in your house. So talk about the things of God when you're at home. Well, is that it? Well, no, you also want to do it when you walk by the way. So talk about God and the things of God and the Word of God. Teach it diligently to your children. Sharpen them through the Word of God when you're at home. And also do it when you're not at home. Well, when do we do that? Well, what you want to do is you want to do that when you lie down, when you go to bed at night. But you also want to do it when you get up. So when you're at home and when you're not at home and when you're going to bed and when you're getting up and when you're going in the way and when you're going back to bed, you want to talk to your children about the Word of God. Friends, we need to be diligent. That word study, in study to show thyself approved, is the word diligent. We need to be diligent in teaching our kids the Word of God. I want to help you out. Some of you have great teachers at school. Some of you are great teachers at school. And I thank God for godly Christian school teachers. But they're not going to teach your kids the Bible at school. They're not. Some of them will a little bit where they can. But they can't just have Sunday school during school time. They can't do it. Your children are not going to learn the Word of God in their video games. They're not going to learn the Word of God on their cartoons. They're not going to learn the Word of God in Netflix and YouTube videos. There's some of them they could learn the Word of God, but most of them they're not. I'm telling you that it's up to you to teach your children diligently. God has called you. He's commanded you. He's equipped you. And there's nobody better on the planet to teach your children the Word of God than you. Amen. Listen to me. I'm your pastor, and I'm telling you that you are better for teaching your kids the Word of God than I am. It's my job to preach it and teach it, yes, but it's your job. They're your kids, and nobody on the planet can do a better job than you can. Amen. You are specifically equipped, spiritually equipped by God to teach your kids the Word of God. Amen. That's kind of overwhelming, isn't it? See, we like to put responsibility to somebody else. People do it at church. I want the Sunday school teacher to teach my kids the Bible. I want the pastor to teach my kids the Bible. And we'll do that here at Calvary. We'll teach your kids the Bible. But you don't get to just move that responsibility off of yourself. We have to teach our kids how to do life, and we've got to teach them how to do it biblically. And we ought to do it all the time. Opportunities abound. I don't know about your kids, but my kids are sinners. I don't know where the pop psychologists today get it from that people are inherently good. They obviously don't have children. I've never had to teach my kids to lie. I've never had to teach them to steal. I never had to teach them to be mean or to hit somebody or bite somebody. Who does that? All right, son, now listen. When one other kid takes your toy, what you do is you go over and bite him really hard on the arm. I didn't teach him that. I don't want somebody's arm in my mouth. It's gross. Amen. I mean, you just don't teach them that. It's in their nature. Amen. We've got to teach them the truth. Amen. We've got to teach them the Word of God. Listen, we've got to be diligent about it. I've got to learn it. I've got to live it. If I ever hope to leave a legacy, a biblical legacy, I want my home to be blessed by God. I want your home to be blessed by God. But we've got to base it on this book. Friends, if you're not studying your Bible every day, you need to start today. If you're not having family devotionals, if you don't get your family together around the Word of God and read it and talk about it and pray every day, you need to start. You start. If you're not out, listen, when you're out doing stuff with your kids at the ball field or working around the house or doing the yard work, there are opportunities everywhere to give them the Word of God. It's everywhere around you. There are things that apply from the scriptures, and that's what he's talking about. As you go through life, every day, when you get up, when you go, when you lay down, everywhere you go, there are opportunities to teach your children, give them the Word of God. This morning, we're going to stand together and get ready for an invitation. I just want to admonish you this morning. I know I said a lot of stuff, and to be honest with you, I preached longer than I meant to, but I don't want to waste this opportunity. This is important. We're talking about the foundation of our homes. Jesus said, if you hear my word and you do them, you're like a man who's built his house on the rock. And that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about taking God's word and it being the foundation for our home. Because if we don't do that, if we hear his word and we don't do it, we don't apply it, we don't live it out, then we're building our homes on the sand. And friends, the storm's going to come one day and it's going to tear your family apart. God help us to build our homes on his word. Listen to me. I just want to encourage you this morning. That where you're standing or up here in the altar, everyone here has a family. There's grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, single moms. We've got just about everything you can imagine right here. We got young people that want to get married and have a family of their own someday. Listen to me. You need to ask God to help you to build your family on the Word of God. So I'm praying right now that every person in this building will respond today. Pray where you're at. Come to the altar. But get serious. If you haven't, dad, mom, if you haven't kept the Word of God as the foundation of your home, you need to repent today. Forgive me, Father. Please help me. You need to make a commitment. God, help me by your grace for our family to be built on your Word. If he's convicting your heart, then you come this morning while we sing.
Page 565.
Number 565.
If he's convicting your heart, you come. Pray where you're at.
Let's build our families on the Word of God.